You're listening to the Recipe for Radiance podcast. I'm your host, Morgan Taddeo, and I'm so excited to provide you with a space where you get the nourishment to create a life that feels radiant and meaningful to you. Recipe for Radiance is where we celebrate individual journeys, honor our inner wisdom, and cultivate a supportive environment for growth and transformation. Hello, and welcome to the very first episode of the Recipe for Radiance podcast. I'm Morgan Taddeo, your host and certified holistic health coach, dedicated to guiding you on your personalized wellness journey. Through this podcast, we'll uncover what it means to live a truly radiant life. We'll explore everything from achieving peak physical health and mental clarity to finding deep fulfillment in your soul and mastering emotional intelligence. I've had so many big changes take place in my life over the course of the past few years. I've lost over 50 pounds. I've healed cystic acne. I've developed a healthy relationship with food and exercise. And I can genuinely say I've never felt more connected to myself or at home in my body. Now, after years of personal growth and transformation, I am deeply committed to empowering women to discover their own paths to radiant health. As a certified holistic health coach and the founder of Recipe for Radiance, I'm here to guide you back home to yourself, helping you cultivate a body and a mind that feels healthy, happy, fulfilled, and safe. You might be wondering, what exactly is a recipe for radiance? Well, just like a recipe you'd use in the kitchen, a radiant life is made up of different ingredients. These ingredients are going to vary from person to person, which makes this journey so much more exciting and unique. In this podcast, we'll uncover personal recipes for radiance from a diverse range of guests. We'll explore their wellness practices, the challenges they've overcome, and the wisdom they've gained along the way. Each story will add a new ingredient to our collective recipe for radiance. And from time to time, I plan to sprinkle in some solo episodes too. But before we dive into those future episodes, let me take a moment to share a glimpse of my journey and how I arrived here today. My personal path into wellness has been a bit of a winding one, and today we'll peel back the first layer. Growing up, my parents were always advocates for healthy living, and my dad in particular was really interested in naturopathic medicine. For those unfamiliar, naturopathic medicine blends traditional healing wisdom with modern scientific research. It focuses on treating the whole person, mind, body, and spirit, using natural therapies. So you could think herbal medicine, nutrition, acupuncture, and lifestyle changes, rather than focusing heavily on pharmaceuticals. My personal interest in wellness didn't truly spark until my teen years. When I was a teenager, I lost one of my childhood best friends to suicide, what shook my world and then completely flipped it upside down. I experienced feelings of anxiety, depression, and a deep sense of disconnection from my happy-go-lucky self. During this time, I felt so lost and broken. My parents quickly noticed this shift in me and took me to see a mental health professional. But I'm going to be so honest, therapy did not click for me initially. Like many of you listening, I was raised in a society that glamorized emotional suppression, and expressing vulnerability, especially to a stranger, felt incredibly daunting to me. So, behind closed doors, in my childhood bedroom, on my baby pink Acer mini laptop, I began exploring healing modalities outside of traditional Western medicine, outside of therapy, and I was determined to not be medicated into feeling better. During this time, I used Google as my search engine. I remember asking questions like how to take care of your mental health, how to feel happy in life, and it ended up directing me to YouTube. And I dove into videos from wellness gurus living their best lives in places like Costa Rica, Thailand, and Hawaii. And they spoke of mind-body connection, something that was so foreign to me back then, but something that is so prevalent in our conversations surrounding wellness today. They were doing things like yoga and meditation, healing themselves through nutrition. This fascinated me, and it became my new learning focus. I slowly started integrating practices like yoga, meditation, running, and journaling into my day-to-day life, and I felt my life begin to shift. I was starting to feel like myself again, but even better. My curiosity around nutrition really started to take off around this time too. For fun, I'd experiment in the kitchen with healthy creations, while most kids my age were out having typical teenage adventures. But you know what? To each their own, as long as you're having fun. And I was having such a great time chefing it up in the kitchen, making yummy snacks for myself, my friends, my family. However, here's where things get a little twisted. We love a fun little plot twist, so I'm going to provide you with one. As I mentioned, my YouTube role models were living in tropical destinations, and they were proponents of living off the land. However, my roots happened to not be planted in a tropical destination. But despite our geographical differences, I was inspired to follow along in their footsteps, and I tried diets like veganism and raw veganism. Most of you probably know what a vegan diet entails, but for those who may not, it excludes all animal products, including meat, dairy, eggs, and sometimes honey. And as for raw veganism, it's a bit of a different ballgame. Not only are you following a vegan diet, this diet limits you from consuming anything aside from raw fruits, raw vegetables, raw nuts, and seeds. And unfortunately, I didn't have mango or banana trees growing in my backyard. I didn't have access to high-quality organic produce all year round. So while I was fueling my body with foods we'd label as nutrient dense, I wasn't eating nearly enough to meet my body's needs at this time, and I wasn't getting all of the essential nutrients, especially protein. This led to symptoms of fatigue, and I often felt as if I wasn't recovering the way my teammates were in sports. However, I personally thought I was leading the healthiest lifestyle that I could have been at this time, so I persevered, leaning in deeper, learning more about the diets of veganism and raw veganism, and I would spend my weekends wandering the aisles of local health food stores. I would spend every dime of my allowance on tropical fruits and other health food products, hoping that it would boost my energy and my well-being. Fast forward to 2016. I was a senior in high school at this time, and I was feeling really good. I was super content with school, my friends, and life in general, but I was noticeably underweight and definitely not as developed as some of my best friends, if you know what I mean. During a routine physical, my provider was absolutely shocked to learn I hadn't yet started my period. Not once, not ever. Instead of exploring the potential link between my low body weight, the diet I was following, and my absent cycle, a prescription for synthetic progesterone to chemically induce my period was in my hands within minutes. I can remember my face turning beet red, my heart was beating so fast, and I just felt this deep sense of embarrassment and shame. I felt like I was being judged. I felt like there was something wrong with me. I was worried that I was broken as a woman. And I believed that by taking this prescription, I would be led down the path to womanhood, that I would be fixed, and all would be fine and dandy afterwards. Just days after starting the synthetic progesterone, my first menstrual cycle had begun. My provider celebrated, however, I began to feel really disconnected from myself and my body. After this prescription, I did have a regular menstrual cycle. However, I was very soon put on a hormonal birth control. Within just a few months, I had gained 30 pounds, developed the most painful cystic acne, and I was battling wicked mood swings. I felt so defeated and anxious. I felt like all of the work I had put into myself to feel good had just been thrown completely out the window. This led to intentional disordered eating patterns and an unhealthy relationship with exercise. When I was in college, I was also in a sorority, so I was spending a lot of my free time out with my friends, drinking, eating at random hours of the night. I was very embracive of my college experience, and I just wanted to do all the things to have fun. However, this led me down a rabbit hole of not feeling good in my body. My health was not my number one priority. And by my junior year of college, I had gained another 20 pounds and I had hit my lowest mental state. In the summer of 2019, before the start of my senior year of college, I had found a new women's health provider. And I'm going to be so honest with you, I was incredibly nervous for this appointment because I wanted to share with her how I was feeling in my body, yet I did not know how it would be perceived. However, unlike anybody I'd seen prior, she listened to my laundry list of symptoms and she had powered me to make my own choices. I decided to stop hormonal birth control and explored non-hormonal birth control options. I felt liberated and in control of my body for the first time in years, and this felt so good. This was the first step for me in reclaiming my health. After stopping hormonal birth control, I began to feel somewhat better, but I knew something still wasn't right. So I put my research hat on and quickly found that hormonal imbalances can be caused by extended birth control use, and I was determined to begin my journey of balancing my hormones. I just wanted to get back to feeling at home in my body. In the spring of 2020, after graduating college, I found a provider who offered hormone testing. My test results revealed significant imbalances in my hormones and also elevated cortisol levels. These test results gave me the answers I needed to start off my transformative journey towards balance and self-rediscovery. I started focusing on three pillars: nutrition, movement, and lifestyle habits. I want to talk in a bit more detail about these three pillars because not only were they the foundation of my personal wellness journey at the very beginning, but they're still something I focus on heavily today, not only personally, but with my clients and my holistic health coaching programs. So first, we'll start out by diving into nutrition. The number one thing I focus on when it comes to nutrition is a balanced diet. I focus on consuming a diverse range of whole foods, colorful fruits and veggies, complex carbs, whole grains, lean proteins, and healthy fats. I also like to have a lot of fun in the kitchen, getting creative with recipes. I guess I'd have to say one of my love languages is definitely cooking for people that I love, people in my life, and just seeing the joy that good, nourishing food can bring to people's lives. Something I get asked a lot is whether or not I track my food. And the answer to that is no, I don't necessarily track my food. I lead with an intuitive style of eating, meaning I honor my hunger and fullness cues. However, I do try to aim for about 20 to 30 grams of protein per meal. I find that this keeps my body's blood sugar levels stable, it sustains my energy, and it keeps me feeling satisfied. It keeps me feeling happy, which is so important. Every day of eating looks different, but I'll walk you through what a typical day might look like for me. I also want to preface by saying something that is so important when it comes to wellness is bioindividuality. So what works for me might not work for you and vice versa. So when I share what a day of eating might look like for me, I want you to know that this might not work for you. And you could just use this as inspiration. This is not a strict guide by any means. It's just for fun. Breakfast might look like an Amy Lou's chicken sausage chopped up in a pan. And then I'll add in some farm fresh local eggs and give that a good scramble together. Then on the side, I lately have been loving to make sweet potatoes into toast, so I'll do that by slicing up the sweet potato, placing it on a baking sheet with extra virgin olive oil, sea salt, black pepper, and baking it at 375 for 20 to 30 minutes. When they come out of the oven, I'll then add mashed avocado to a few of the slices, or if I'm feeling like adding some sweetness, I'll do a little bit of peanut butter with honey and cinnamon. Or I'll do both. It really depends on what I'm craving that morning and what my body is needing for nourishment. For lunch, I love to make a bowl, and one of the reasons I love this so much is because it's something that's super easy to prep ahead of time. So on Sundays, you can prep all of the contents for what your lunch bowls might look like, and it just makes lunchtime such a seamless process. So I'll share a bowl that I have been loving lately, and that is spinach topped with quinoa, And a little side note, I cook my quinoa in bone broth for some extra protein, some extra nutrients. And then I top this with a protein. So something like chicken breast or steak. I'll add in chopped apple, raw pumpkin seeds, raw sunflower seeds, local goat cheese, and a homemade balsamic vinaigrette. And this is just chef's kiss. Something about me too, I love to make my dressings at home just because it's so easy and I personally think they taste a bit better than store-bought dressings. However, in the name of time, if you're at the store and looking for a good brand of dressing, I love Primal Kitchen. They don't include any yucky ingredients and their dressings taste really good as well. For dinner, I'll share something that I had just the other night and it was really yummy. It was a Greek bowl. So I did some jasmine rice with chopped up cucumbers, cherry tomatoes, red onion, roasted red peppers, Kalamata olives, feta, and steak. You could also do chicken or another protein that sounds yummy to you. I love to make a homemade hummus for the top too. We recently got a food processor, so anything that I can make in there, I'm just having a blast with. You could also top it with tzatziki. That would be really delicious too. As for snacks during the day, lately I've been reaching for chopsticks. Also, Good Culture cottage cheese is a go-to, and if I'm in the mood for a protein shake, I'll do Trevani protein powder with Elmhurst milk or the Califia Farms 3-ingredient almond milk. I also love protein bites. These are something that I keep on hand in my fridge. I have a recipe for peanut butter protein bites on my blog, and they are seriously so good. They taste like cookie dough, so if you're a cookie dough lover, you have to check them out. I also recently bought a Ninja Creami, so I'm making Ninja Creamies all the time too. And what I love about this is you can literally make a protein shake into ice cream. So I'll add in a milk, I'll add in my protein powder, I'll let that sit in the freezer overnight, and then I'll make my creamy the next day. And yeah, it's protein shake ice cream and it's so delicious. Now, I don't know about you, but I also love a little nightcap every evening after dinner. My go-to is either peppermint tea, spearmint tea, or if I'm in my luteal phase or on my period, I'll reach for raspberry leaf tea. And I'll have a couple squares of Hugh Dark chocolate as well. My favorites are the dark chocolate filled with cashew butter and pure vanilla bean, as well as the dark chocolate filled with cashew butter and raspberry. Both are incredible. If you haven't tried them before, you need to. They're always on hand in my pantry, and I just love them so, so much. Another topic that I want to dive into when it comes to nutrition is mindful eating. I don't know about you, but in the past, I used to be somebody who would run around frantic and chaos and then just shovel food into my mouth because I knew I needed to nourish myself. But when I was doing that, I was not enjoying my meal and I'd finish and be like, what the heck just happened? So something that I do today is take a few deep breaths before I start eating. And this helps to take my body out of fight or flight if I'm in that state. And it brings me into rest and digest, which is so important for our bodies to help us to really promote that healthful digestion. It also really helps to change the experience of eating. You'll find that you feel more satisfied. You know how there's that saying of romanticize your life? Well, romanticize your meals. Really just take time to sit down, slow down, and enjoy the food that's in front of you. And I guarantee you're going to feel more satisfied and more content in your body. Something else that I think is worth touching on is hydration, and this is something that I really used to overlook. And making sure we're hydrated isn't just about bodily functions, if you know what I mean. It's key to feeling energized and maintaining that glowy and radiant appearance that we all love. So here are some of my top tips for keeping hydrated. First thing in the morning, I kickstart my day with warm water infused with lemon and a pinch of Celtic sea salt. Celtic sea salt is rich in minerals that enhance hydration. Another great option is adding mineral drops from brands like Trace Minerals to your water for that extra boost. You can also get really creative with your water, so if you prefer cold drinks, try freezing ice cubes with slices of fruit, sprigs of mint. This adds a refreshing twist to your hydration routine, and it also will encourage you to drink more water throughout the day. I personally think it makes your water cute, and who doesn't want cute water? Like, come on. You could also try incorporating coconut water. My personal favorite brand is Harmless Harvest, and you could incorporate electrolyte packets too. In the summer, I find that I drink an electrolyte packet every single day. I love electrolyte packets made by Trace Minerals. They have a salty watermelon flavor that is really good. And I also love the brand Element, and they make a flavor called Citrus Salt that is definitely my favorite. That concludes the nutrition pillar. I truly could go on and on about this topic. Nutrition is something that I'm super passionate about, and it's something that my clients and I have so much fun with in my holistic health coaching programs. We're going to dive into the movement pillar now, and we're going to start off by talking about regular physical activity. This is something that I feel people can have trouble staying consistent with, so I want to provide you with some tips. My biggest would be to plan your week's movement with intention. Make sure that it's suitable to your schedule, to your liking. I think sometimes people feel they have to do workouts that don't necessarily align with things they enjoy. And the purpose of movement is to find joy in it. You're not going to stay consistent with something that doesn't feel good to you. Personally, I sync my workouts with my menstrual cycle phases. I know this isn't for everybody, but it's something that feels really good to me. It helps me to stay super connected with my body. Okay, a quick cycle syncing 101 for anybody who is curious. Cycle syncing refers to the practice of aligning your activities, your nutrition, and your movement with the phases of your menstrual cycle. The menstrual cycle consists of four phases: your menstrual phase, your follicular phase, your ovulatory phase, and your luteal phase. Each phase is characterized by hormonal changes that can impact energy levels, mood, metabolism, and cravings. During my menstrual cycle, I focus on rest and gentle exercises like slow-moving Pilates, yoga, and walking. During my follicular phase, my energy starts to gradually increase, so I engage in moderate to intense exercises like strength training, Pilates with my ball of bangles to make it a bit more spicy. I still do yoga, but maybe a bit more intense flow. In my ovulatory phase, I have the most abundant amount of energy, so I'm focusing on higher intensity movements. I'm doing things like strength training, hot power yoga, hot Pilates, spin classes. Any way I can get my body really moving and grooving during my ovulatory phase, I am here for, because I'm just feeling so dang good. During my luteal phase, my energy begins to decline, my body is preparing for my menstrual phase, so I focus on calming exercises like yoga and Pilates. Something that I am consistently doing throughout all four cycle phases is walking. I love to walk. It's something that's not only good for my body, but it's also good for my mental health. There is truly so much value in getting a good walk into your day. So if you are to start anywhere, I encourage you to start with walking. It's a great time to listen to some fun music, to a podcast, and really get out in nature. Another suggestion of mine when it comes to consistency is mixing it up. So incorporating things like Pilates, strength training, yoga, whatever feels good to you and your body, I encourage you to experiment, to get out there, to try a new workout and see how it feels to you. Speaking from personal experience, it's so much easier to stay engaged when you have variety because you have different things to look forward to. Okay, so why is consistency so important at the end of the day? Consistency is key to maintaining momentum and seeing those long-term benefits that we all want to see. At the end of the day, movement is not only for our bodies, but it's for our minds too, and it's going to help us sustain longevity in our lives. The last topic that I want to touch on in the movement pillar is recovery. Recovery is so, so important, so I urge you to allow your body time to rest and recover between workouts. This not only prevents injury, but it promotes muscle repair and supports overall physical resilience. My priority focuses when it comes to recovery are my sleep, hydration, nutrition, and stretching. I love to do things like foam roll, to treat myself to a massage here and there. I love sauna and ice baths, and also I love compression boots anytime I have the opportunity to use them. They truly make my legs feel like they are brand new. They help to improve blood circulation and reduce swelling. So please, please, please give your body time to rest and recover. The last and final pillar we're going to dive into today is lifestyle habits, and we're going to kick it off by talking about sleep. Sleep is something that I really neglected to prioritize much of my teen years and into early adulthood as well, and now today I realize how vital it is to feeling good in my body. So today I aim for 7 to 9 hours of sleep each night, but as I mentioned, this was not always the case. If I could go back in time, I'd tell my younger self so many different things, and one of those things being, girl, get your booty into bed and get yourself a good night's sleep. It is going to make you feel so much better. One of my top recommendations for creating a consistent sleep schedule would be to come up with a soothing bedtime routine. So integrating practices that allow you to wind down and get into a restorative state. For me, one of the biggest things is putting my phone away. I am a huge proponent of the Do Not Disturb button, and around 7:30, 8 o'clock each night, I'll put my phone on Do Not Disturb and I'll tuck it away for the evening and won't pick it back up until the morning. I also have an Oura Ring, which helps me to track my sleep. I know not everybody has access to an Oura Ring, nor does everybody want an Oura Ring, but it's a tool that's really helped me to stay consistent with my sleep schedule because I have those sleep scores right in front of me. Next up is stress management. So incorporating stress-relieving practices into your day-to-day life. Some things that really work for me are deep breathing, meditation, spending time in nature, yoga, moving my body, anything that really allows me to connect with myself and be present. Now, let me preface with this too. When it comes to stress management, what works for somebody else might not work for you, going back to that bio-individuality piece. Now, when I first started meditating, it was the farthest thing from stress relieving for me. And I say that because it was so hard for me to quiet my mind at first. So I really had to be consistent with meditation in order for it to become a stress relieving practice for me. So keep that in mind when you're scrolling social media and you see people doing stress relieving techniques that work for them. It might not work for you, and that is totally okay. My biggest piece of advice would be to find things that help you to feel connected to yourself, that help you to feel still and at home in your body. All right, diving into social connections. And this happens to be one of my favorites because I recently realized how important social connections are for me to feel like my happiest, most abundant, and radiant self. So nurturing meaningful relationships with friends, family, and your community. Some of my suggestions for getting out into your community and meeting like-minded people would be to do activities that you feel passionate about. So whether that's yoga classes, Pilates classes, you could go to different studios, you could do a cooking class or a pottery class. Anything that lights you up, I encourage you to find a hub in your community where you could go and do that because you are destined to meet like-minded people and so many different friendships and connections could flourish from that. All right, let's chit-chat about mindfulness. So what is mindfulness? My definition would be anything that allows you to come home to your mind and your body. A practice that allows you to be very present in the moment. I find that I am most mindful when my phone is away and I'm engaging with what's around me, whether that's reading a book, having face-to-face interactions with friends or family or people in my life. I also really enjoy meditation and journaling. The last and final topic we'll dive into in the lifestyle habits pillar is hobbies and recreation. Finding activities that bring you joy and relaxation. For me personally, I love to go to yoga and Pilates studios. I like to go to farmers markets on the weekends. I love to bop to different health food stores to explore, send pictures of products to my clients. That's literally become a hobby at this point. I just find so much joy in doing that. I also love to write and read, spend time in nature, on hiking trails. I love to go for walks, love being on the water. That's a lot of things that I love, but I think it's okay to have lots of different hobbies. And one thing that I really like to get into, and maybe you could hold me accountable, is gardening. I don't really know where to start, so if you have any tips, please, please, please let me know because I'd love to learn from you. Now, with all of that said, there you have it, a glimpse into my journey through three pillars of holistic wellness: nutrition, movement, and lifestyle habits. Each of these areas has been essential in guiding me towards a healthier and more fulfilling life. And believe it or not, there is so much more I look forward to diving into together. It felt so good to record today's episode and to finally be kicking off this journey together. I'm so excited for everything that's to come and the opportunity for us to grow alongside one another. Reflecting on the stories I've shared about my past, I want to emphasize how much love I have for every version of myself that I've been. I recently saw a quote that said, "To the girl I was, without you, I wouldn't be me." And it's a beautiful reminder that every part of our journey shapes who we become. Thank you so much for being here with me, and I can't wait to see where this path takes us. If you enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe to the podcast, leave a review, and share it with your friends. I'm so excited for next time, and I can't wait to chat next week. Bye! Thank you so much for listening. A new episode of Recipe for Radiance will drop every Thursday. I want to hear from you, so please subscribe and write a review. Be sure to follow at Recipe for Radiance Podcast on Instagram and send in all of the topics and questions you'd like to hear about. I'm so grateful to have you as a part of this amazing journey. I'll see you next week.